Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today from Switzerland is Sabine Fercher, who is the Group Head of Compliance for Avaloq. Sabine and I had the good fortune of meeting each other at the SCCE Academy and Regional Meeting in Singapore just a few weeks ago. Sabine, thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you, Adam, for having me.
So we're going to talk today about the ISO standard 19600. There's been a lot of attention paid to the other standard, 37001, but 19600 is out there, and Sabine explained to me it can be a very useful tool. Before we get into the specifics of it, though, could you give us some history of the standard?
Well, the ISO standard was initiated by Australia. Australia used to have a standard which covered compliance management. It became quite old. It was 1996 where they first initiated it. And when it was due to be renewed, they asked the international standard organizations to support the creation of a truly global international standard. The International Standard Organization has more than 161 national standards organizations as its members. So with this at hand, you have a very global standard when you create something with the ISO. Also, what they did is they aligned it with the risk management guideline, which was introduced in 2006. So that both standards now, compliance management as well as risk management guideline, they both align to each other.
Interesting. So what exactly does ISO 19600 cover?
So basically, it's what SEC would call the compliance program. It's described in a very condensed form, and it addresses the development, the implementation, the evaluation, but as well the maintenance and improvement of a compliance program.
And so was it designed for companies of any type? Was it designed to be universal or for specific industries or types of organizations?
It's a global standard, so it's applicable for all organizations. The way they define organizations within the ISO 19600 is it could be a person or a group of people that have its own functions with responsibilities, authorities, and relationships to achieve some of its objectives. And this could be partnership, charity institutions, it could be incorporated or not, it could be public or private, so pretty much every aspect of organization is included in there.
Well, that is quite the range. Now, let's talk about 3701, mostly though in terms of how is it different. 3701's been getting a lot of attention lately. The other standard, the one we're talking about now, 19600, not so much. So what's the key difference between them?
So the ISO 19600 was drafted especially from people who were exposed to, action from Department of Justice, and also with the UK Bribery Act coming into force, they realized that a lot of companies do not have any idea what that means, having a compliance program. So they drafted this as a guideline, the ISO 19600. It's not something that is made to be certified. And that's the big difference, because when you come to ISO 37001, this has been drafted at a later stage, but this is drafted to be certified. And the scope is much less, because in the ISO 37001, you just have the anti-bribery management system described and what it needs to have. That's the big difference here.
Yeah, well, it's a huge difference between, you know, obviously one area of risk and then looking at it across all of them. Now, so what benefits have you found from ISO 19600?
It has a very clear allocation of responsibilities. The supervising body needs to make things right for a compliance professional to be able to work. There's, for example, one very important section. It says the compliance manager needs to have direct access to the governing body. It is also says that compliance function needs to be independent, and it says that it needs to have appropriate authority and adequate resources so that the compliance function can actually fulfill its task. This I think is very helpful for all colleagues out there who are in charge of a compliance program. Because, you know, if you say to the board, do you want to have an ISO standard for your company? They say, oh, yes, we would like to have an ISO standard, you know, and then you have this included as well.
So it really becomes a very good and useful tool for you then for trying to leverage the support of the board for the compliance program, it sounds like.
It does really help a lot.
And have you, and along those lines, have you found that it helps with the rest of the business unit as well, that they start seeing compliance differently because you're trying to comport to an ISO standard?
Yes, I think that especially you see big players like Alstom, for example, who have already certification in ISO 37001. And then there are other big players in the market, for example, the insurance company Allianz. They have, you know, they've gotten themselves a certification, which is very similar to the ISO 19600, but they used a German norm for it. So the value of having such standards is a really big increasing demand. And especially when it comes to information security, there's also standard out there. 27,000 and following, and this has been a very big demand in the market. And I see that clients from Avaloq are asking for us to have standards like that in place. So.
Interesting. So, are there any other you know, benefits, you know, for why someone would want to, or why an organization would want to adopt and comport to a simple guideline such as 19600?
The 19600 has pretty much, you know, everything that you need. And if somebody is a starter or a beginner, if you really work with this product, you have so much guidance. That's one of the things that I also really like about this this norm. And then there is the other aspect. I don't know how the legal situation is in other areas of the world, but for example, in Switzerland, when you as a board member, being member of the governing body, if you are saying that you want your company to follow an international standard, the risk to be held liable at the later stage is much, much less. The exposure that you could have. So without, you know, attending to international standards which are out there, it's tricky for board members nowadays. And I don't know, again, here I don't know how other countries have managed this, but in Switzerland, the ISO 19600 found its way in the best practice guidance which we have in the market for public traded, but also for non-public traded companies.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that elsewhere, but it's definitely a notable development for Switzerland. While we have a couple of minutes left, let me ask one other question and sort of play the devil's advocate here. I'm a compliance officer. I know what the U.S. federal sentencing guidelines are. I've seen OECD guidance, UK best practice guidance for the Bribery Act, which is bribery specific, but really the guidance for a lot of the compliance is relevant for most any risk areas. Why would I want to embark on the ISO standard in addition to that?
Because they were also experts which were familiar with EU sentencing guidelines and UK Bribery Act, you know, supporting materials, which actually then made this comprehensive and condensed ISO standard. I've had colleagues who said there's nothing more in the US sentencing guidelines that you get from rather than what you have in the ISO 19600. I have not personally verified that. I did not take the time to make a gap analysis. It would be interesting to have a gap analysis in this regard.
Okay, yeah, indeed it would, indeed it would. Well, Sabine, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today on the evening in Switzerland. I want to thank all of you who took the time out to listen to this podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.